Welcome to Taz Festival, your radio guide to thoroughbred racing this week in Tasmania.
Had a very good morning, everybody. Welcome along. Colin McNiff with you. Brent Mansfield will be joining me a little later. We'll be talking plenty of thoroughbred racing. There's lots happening down here at the present time. No meeting, of course, today to preview, but we've got a big meeting coming up on Wednesday. We had a very good meeting on Boxing Day at Devonport, and of course, New Year's Day, we have our traditional once-a-year meeting at Longford. But first up, we're going to talk yearling sales. We've got the Magic Million sale coming up in Launceston on Thursday, February 12, 2015. We've got 121 yearlings catalogued for the sale, which has exceeded the initial forecast, which expected only somewhere between 90 and 100. And one of the top vendors each and every year is Armidale Stud, and joining us now is David Wishaw. Morning, David.
Morning, Carl, and Merry Christmas to you.
And to you, thank you. It's a busy time, no doubt, for you, Christmas, New Year, but it doesn't stop preparing yearlings for the sale.
No, it certainly doesn't, Carl. The world seems to stop, but you know, us and the horse industry keep ticking over.
That's exactly right. Now, what's Armidale got coming up for the catalogue this year? No doubt, I think it's the last of the Savoie Vs.
Yep, it is, Carl. We've got a lovely draft actually this year, lovely draft with a bit of diversity, and including in that is the last Savoie V for sale, and he's actually a three-quarter brother to the cleaner, so very exciting for his owners.
Well, that's going to create an enormous amount of interest, the fact that the cleaner took all before him through the spring carnival and gave Tasmanian racing and Savoie V for that matter such a wonderful amount of publicity. It is so sad that Savoie V passed away prematurely, so people who were looking to get something from this horse who's established himself in the wonderful sire down here, this is their last chance.
Yep, yeah, it certainly is. Look, there was only three life holes in his last crop. We put him down early in the season due to laminitis. He got three mares in foal, and the other two foals will be kept to be retained to be raced by owners. So this is the last horse for sale. He's a colt. He's a three-quarter brother to the clan, as you said, who not only did Tasmanian proud, but I think he did Australian racing proud. It was lovely to see a front and bold running horse like the cleaner get such a cult following, and this horse won't just people would come down and look at him. Not only is he stand up on the pedigree page in the catalogue, but he's a cracking type. He's big strong horse with a big deep girth and plenty of bone, and he's going to prep into a lovely year, and that's for sure.
And of course the cleaner was a graduate of these sales a few years back.
Yes, he was. $10,000 purchase. Mick Pearl spotted him out, and from the Ariane Sander Acton draft, and it's lovely to see the sale throwing. It throws a good black top horse every year without fail.
What's the best of your draft?
Well, we've got a really lovely even draft this year, Cole. We've got several standout colts, as we've sort of mentioned, the cleanest three-quarter brother. We've got a lovely reward for effort colt out of Rose of Fortman. He's lot 49 in the catalogue. He's a big, strong colt with plenty of bone. The mare's, I think, thrown five winners out of six runners, two stakes winners amongst them. So he'll definitely be a standout. We've got a lovely draft of fillies out of Stakes Place now, White 4 by Black Caviar's Full Brother and Moshi. We've got another nice Bella Spree filly out of a Stakes Place mare, Melbourne City winning mare, Silver City Miss. We've also got another really nice filly by Doomsday out of Magic Summer, nice tall athletic leggy, good walking filly. We've got a lovely even draft. Another Stakes Place mare with the core, and like a colt by Artie Schiller. Peter Murdy purchased the full sister last year, so I think those that come down and inspect the draft won't be disappointed, that's for sure.
A lot of people that have gone through the catalogue already are saying this is the best that we've had for the past few years.
Yeah, look, I think they say that every year, Cole, but I think this year it actually really does ring true. I sort of tallied up there this morning, there's 66 different sires represented in a catalogue of 121 horses, which is quite amazing, and such a diversity of sires from Tassie through to New South Wales. I think there's one thing that the industry tightening its belt has done, and it's made the breeders realise they need to be breeding from better quality mares, and I think we're starting to see that in this catalogue, which is great.
That has been a criticism of the Tasmanian sales probably over the last 10 years or so, that the mares weren't quite up to scratch, but that's something that has been addressed.
Yeah, look, I think it's a criticism of the bottom end of the industry worldwide, not only Tassie or Australia-wide, but I think the breeders have realised that they've got to be continually upgrading their bloodstock, and we're starting to see some nice brood mares come through, and hopefully the types will represent that too.
David, there was some international buyers down last year from China. They bought 15 or 16 lots, I think, in the end. Do you know if they're coming back this year?
Look, I haven't heard yet, Cole, but it was definitely a good boost for the bottom end of the market. They actually didn't purchase any horses of us last year, but I'm sure Magic Millions will be doing their best to get them back, and it's nice to see them being active in the market, that's for sure.
All right, it's going to come around nice and quickly. The new year is upon us now, and the sale comes up, as mentioned earlier, on Thursday, February 12, 2015. It's right in the middle of the Tasmanian Summer Racing Carnival, so 121 lots to go under the hammer, and we look forward to it being a huge success, and Armidale will be another major player as they are each and every year. Appreciate your time.
Good on you, Cole. You too. Thanks, mate.
David Wishall there from Armidale Stud joining us, talking about the Magic Yearling Sale February 12, 2015 in Launceston. So that's going to be something to look forward to, and plenty to look forward to coming up this week as Greg Mansfield joins me online. Morning, Greg.
Morning, Colin. Yeah, it's a good week coming up, isn't it?
We've got some very good racing coming up on Wednesday night, and of course, once a year at Longford, of course, at the track, I suppose the track got as much publicity, or Longford itself, with what the cleaner was doing over the spring racing carnival. Everybody knows that Longford is now in Tasmania.
They certainly do. That's just a bit of a pity we're not on Sky One or something to capitalise on that, aren't we? Because I'm sure the novelty factor would be good as far as turnover is concerned. But nonetheless, we don't need Sky on Longford on Boxing on New Year's Day. It's just a great meeting by itself, isn't it?
And I believe the cleaner will be there parading. I think somebody told me that.
I've heard he's making a guest appearance, so that will be good.
Mm. All right, plenty to talk about. First up, we might just have a recap of what happened at Devonport. We're on the Topeka Boxing Day. It was a very good program. Gee, a beautiful day weather-wise, and a really good crowd got along. No doubt the club would have been delighted with that.
It was a good crowd, and they backed up on the night with a trot meeting at Devonport, and there's another good crowd. So it just goes to show that people will turn out on special days.
Mm. We kicked it off with the maiden plate. Miss Mars at a third race start broke through for John Blacker and Georgie Catania. Kicked off a good day for that there.
It did. Drew the outside barrier in a field of nine. Just got caught a little bit wide in the run, but at the end of the day, she was simply far too good. She came away and won by more than two lengths. E-Town, who was surprisingly, I thought, backed into favouritism. I couldn't really believe it would be favourite ahead of Miss Mars, but it was marginally. Battled on OK after leading. I thought probably if there was one to follow from the race, it might be the third place. Get a cynical man who got home well, but he was four and a bit lengths from the winner. So I don't think too much behind Miss Mars caught my eye, but she's quite a promising filly.
Yeah, cynical man having his first race start just does look a nice type. He was sort of all at sea in the early part of the race, but once he got into stride, he sort of finished off well, as you say, well beaten, but certainly one to follow. Second race, and our perennial bridesmaid Flying Stevie got the job done.
And he looked for a fleeting moment at the top of the straight like he wasn't going there, didn't he? He sat three wide, a little bit wide just off the pace, but he was in the right spot to pounce in the straight. But when Harvey McCarthy wanted to make a move, he was up to his old tricks, and he ducked in a bit, didn't he? And she had to straighten him and get him going, but he was just too good in the finish. He beat Tangerine Queen, who battled on pretty well after leading. And Tangerine Queen, stablemate, keep racing. It was okay in third place, but the very poor run in the race was from what looked to be the only danger to Flying Stevie. That was Rose's Queen. Mm. Went around $2.30 favourite and was gone 400 from home.
Yeah, finished second last. It was a shocker by Rose's Quest after such a good run the start before that. Flying Stevie, that was start number 16. Prior to that, 15 runs, obviously. 10 placings, 9 of those being a runner-up check. So after 9 seconds, good to see it break through for its initial win. In the Class 1, we saw Porto go around and get the money. Rhonda Mangan seems to have the secret to this Gary White-trained horse.
She does, and this race was thrown into a bit of confusion, I suppose, betting-wise, when Scouting Around, who was a very short price favourite, came out of the barrier. Porto and the runner-up Rapid Score both raced on the speed, and both fought on pretty well. Porto was a little bit green in the home straight. I believe he is a difficult horse to ride, but Rhonda certainly knows how to handle him. She got him home again, just ahead of a Rapid Score, Flying Ensign and Lake Fergus with a run on horses that got home okay, but geez, it took Lake Fergus a long time to wind up. He went round favourite. He only got wound up in the last 120 metres or so. So I don't know what to make of him. And two disappointing runs in the race for horses that were in the betting. Quickly Diamonds was given every possible chance, and so was Ann Payo, and they failed to run on. So we'll just have to be a bit wary with them in the future.
Fourth event was the Class 2 Savoir Step. Went out looking $1 million. Its coat was shiny, a ball of muscle, and it ran accordingly.
It did. It was just a bit too good for those. He wasn't far behind the better three-year-olds last season. He's only been very lightly raced. His trainer, Dylan Clark, said he's got plenty of ability. Unfortunately, he's just a little bit on the small side. He's a horse with a future. Just Mouse did what Just Mouse always does, and that's run a good race without winning. Was battled on well to run second. Speedy Sort, who finished third at the very long odds, at the box seat run and got up on the fence in the home straight. I don't think Grand Challenger could have done much more on it other than get off and carry him, so no excuses there. Triple B, who was in the betting, missed the start, and one that went around at 20-1 that showed a bit of pace after drawing wide will be improved by the run was Maglia Rosa.
Yeah, I agree. If you haven't been following the fixed odds there on TatsBet, the three best backed horses in the race were Savoir Step, Just Mouse, and Speedy Sort was 41 into 21. They ran 1, 2, 3. They were the only horses that shortened up fixed odds, and the trifecta paid $185.
Yes, I wasn't watching, were you?
I was, but I wasn't smart. Casanova singing up from a spell. We mentioned this horse a couple of weeks ago. First up, it featured in the Stewards Report after being KO'd about four times in one race, but he got the prize here at $14. Fought back to beat a Spry who looked the winner.
Yes, he got paid that $21 out of Casanova, so it was a little bit of a nibble for him. As you said, he had a page of the Stewards Report to himself first up from a spell. He got into so much trouble. John Blacker, his trainer, said that because he's a stallion, he thought he might have just needed one more run to bring him to his peak, but he's another horse that wasn't far behind the better three-year-olds last season, and he looks to have come back in good form. A Spry, to my eye, looked like it was going to win for certain until it just perhaps died on its run. Might have been just a short of a run it was first up, and did have 60.5 kilos, so it wouldn't take anything away from it. I think it's in for a good prep. And once again, we had a couple of late scratchings here, including Bernard, who's becoming a bit of a perennial offender, isn't he? And he ran over in the stalls for the second time in a row, which is not a good habit. It doesn't do the jockey self any good when you've got a horse like that.
Yeah, they had problems loading a few in that race, and Bernard had drawn the inside, was in the stalls for a long time, so I think he probably can be forgiven on this occasion, but yeah, as you say, you don't like to see a habit of that. In the Benchmark 72 at the weekend, I think stands itself as a Devonport Cup contender.
Probably the most impressive winner of the day, a very lightly raced mare trained by Adam Trinder. She wasn't too far away in any of the three-year-old fillies classics last season. She ran well in the Oaks and the Strut Stakes, also the Thousand Guineas, and she won a couple of races earlier this season, and then was given a freshen up. Has come back from this, I don't know, but I think they are going to have a crack at the Devonport Cup, and she becomes almost the query runner, doesn't she? She's going into its second up, so to speak, but she's got a lot of class on her side.
Related to the, closely related to Weekend Hustler, so I think at the weekend, as you say, lightly raced, it was very impressive. Daniel Ganton had a huge look around this year, over his shoulder coming around the corner. He knew that he had just about everything beaten at that stage.
Yes, well, at the weights and everything else, she was better than those. Crystal Reef was brave after leading with 61 kilos. He fought on well, but no match for the winner. Thought the unlucky runner of the race was Huss Style, who finished third. Just couldn't quite get out in the home straight when the jockey wanted to. Did eventually angle into the clear. Was beaten, 1.25 by 1.5, so it was a fair way from the winner, but I thought it was a run that suggests she's got another winner shortly. And I was talking to Barry Campbell after the race. He settled up the favourite, Blazy Democracy, who went around at $2.80, appeared to have every chance, and Barry is starting to think that he can't run 1350. Might keep him to 1200 from now on.
Yeah, that could well be the case, because it was on face value a little disappointing. Sheffield Cup was the feature race. It was the best finish of the day, and nose by nose, Landed Dollar fighting back to a beat second dozen genuine lead in third.
Was a good race, wasn't it? Not so much from the punter's perspective, I suppose. $17 the winner, they bet a little bit better than that. Scott Brunton, these were late entries, Land a Dollar and a couple of his other runners, so he had difficulty getting riders. He eventually snapped up Sherry Barr for this horse. Well, she's still inexperienced these days, but this was her biggest win by far, and she didn't do anything wrong on it at all. He said, lead, don't go too fast, don't go too slow, which of course is not easy to do, but she managed to get it right. Second dozen, I think, clearly headed him, didn't he, in the home straight, but Scott Brunton was of the opinion that second dozen failed to run the trip. I don't know whether second dozen trainer Adam Trinder would agree with that or not, but on the day, he probably did. But the run of the race, from my point of view, I think, from Devonport Cup, looking ahead, was the third place get a genuine lad. something happened to him turning into the back straight the first time, and I couldn't quite work out from the replays what it was, but he sort of veered out just a little bit, and then Dumb Adam was looking around as if something had gone wrong there, and it probably cost him a couple of spots in the running line from where he should have been, but he did get home well, and I think he's screaming out now for the 1880 of the Devonport Cup.
And of course, the Devonport Cup coming up on Wednesday, January 7th, so it's not too far away. And Cherry went on to complete a double, riding another longest prize winner in Master Elford in the last.
She gave this horse the softest possible run you could imagine, just off the pace on the fence. And then the only worry came in the home straight when briefly she looked as if she was going to have difficulty getting out from behind those in front of her. But when she did, Master Elford quickly put pay to them. He went on to win by just over a length from Holy Cat. And now Anna, Evil Intent, a horse that I liked a little bit, ran on well from the back of the field, but they just weren't making ground from that far back at this meeting. So it's hard to keep on tipping horses that drop out the last, isn't it? They need everything in there, over the track, the luck, and so on and so forth. But she got a win in her Evil Intent, but I'm not quite sure when.
All right. Horse or two to follow?
Yeah, I liked Huff Style, as I said. I thought she was unlucky in race six. I'm definitely going to follow Genuine Lad into the Devonport Cup. And another horse out of that race I thought ran really well also, and he was first up after a little freshen up, was Lingo. He's a Devonport Cup contender, and I thought he battled on really well to finish fourth. He was only a head or so behind Genuine Lad, and I'll make him one to follow. And there's another one that ran on all right in the last race. He's a bit of a gunner. He's called 7 Mile King, but they will find a race for him sooner or later.
Now, Wednesday, now we go to Launceston. We've got a couple of feature races on the card. The three-year-old trophy is one of those. We've got 10 noms at the present time, but the Monarchs of Admiral, the unbeaten Valiant Warrior, the improving Bella Venus, Colt Hero, who's going so very well at the present time, looks like being a very good race.
That's a good little race, and I did before we come on air have a quick look at the weather forecast. It's supposed to be sunny in 23 and lots on Wednesday afternoon, so hopefully it'll be a nice night, and that is a very good field, as you said. It'll be interesting to see whether Valiant Warrior can beat Admiral again, this time, of course, meeting him at level weights. Mm-hmm. There was 3 kilos between them last time.
And Admiral second up with that run under his belt. You've got to be a ripper. But all eyes will be on the Tasmanian Stakes. This is a weight range over 1,600 metres. It carries prize money of $100,000. First to 60, second is 18,000. The cleaner just needs, the cleaner, GG's Blackflash just needs to run 1-2 and he'll crack the $1 million mark.
And I think he probably will. There's 9 in it. Royal Rapture, who's one of them, was scratched from Sprayton. Scott Button was saying he's not quite right and he's going to be safe for a sprint race on Devonport Cup Day, so I assume he won't run. And his stablemate Streetwise Savoy was a bit disappointing in the Sheffield Cup, so we may be down to a field of only 7, but it's a quality field. GD's Blackflash should probably run first or second without too much trouble. Banker Mo is going to be hard to beat, and there's a very interesting horse in it called Lucky Chappie.
Yeah, now he comes from, all parts of the globe.
He's raced in America in a Group 1 race and runs second. I think it was the Hollywood Derby, from memory. He's raced in Dubai, and of course he's most recently been in Sydney with Chris Waller. He's been competitive in some very good races. The worrying thing with him is that he hasn't won since 2011, so that's always a bit of a concern, isn't it, when they continually run well in good races, but they just don't win, no matter what class they're in. And I've been told by a couple of people that have seen him, I haven't seen him in the flesh, he's only a small horse, so maybe 59 kilograms is another little bit of a worry in a weight for age race, but he's certainly going to add a lot of interest to that field.
Gigi's Blackflash, they all carry 59, or Iggy McCool would carry 57 if it runs, but GD's Blackflash's rating is 107, the nearest to it, Bankamo 100, and then you go down to Lucky Chappie and Pitt Street, who are on 94. Pitt Street ran a good race last time behind GD's Blackflash.
Yes, he certainly did. He gave a big side in the home straight. He steps up to the 1,600 metres here, and his mainland form suggests that won't be a problem.
I'm just hoping that for GD's Blackflash to crack the $1 million mark, he does it with a win.
That would be the perfect scenario, wouldn't it? I'm sure that the connections would take second if they had to, but to go over the $1 million on Tasmanian soil with a win in a $100,000 race would just about be a perfect, it's not a finale because he's still going strong, but it'd be a great moment.
Yeah. Longford, no nominations out as yet. No doubt they'll come out tomorrow.
As far as I know, they're out tomorrow, yes, and forecast is also good for Longford on Thursday. A bit cloudy, but 24 degrees, so we'll take our sunburn cream. There's not much protection at Longford, is there? But it's a beautiful picnic venue and an iconic place to race on New Year's Day.
Yep, looking forward to both those meetings, both those thoroughbred meetings coming up through the week. That's Wednesday night, the Tasmanian Stakes, GD's Blackflash aiming for the $1 million mark, and then our picnic meeting, our once-a-year job at Longford on New Year's Day. We'll take a quick break. There's plenty to talk with Harness Racing.